So we'll begin Emir Tashem, the Kiddush Hashniya Lepurim. The Kiddush Levi begins as follows. Ba'atan Avar Be'ezer Adon Kol Mitzvos Be'ezer Adon Kol, excuse me, Mitzvos Matanos Le'evyonim. Right? So the Kiddush Hashniya, as the Kiddush Rishona focused on the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah, so this Maimer will be focused on the mitzvah of Matanos Levyonim. Odivar, and we'll begin basically with an explanation of the Gemara in Megillah on Daf Yudam Abbeis. Odivar al Pizeh Kama Ma'amarim Benivar Masha Amr Chazal. And we'll begin basing the Gemara in Daf Yudam Abbeis. The Gemara over here, which has the Hakdamas of these very, very important Dafim. One really cannot appreciate Purim properly. You need to learn the entire Masechet Megillah, but especially these five Dapim of the end of the first paragraph of Megillah, which really goes through Chazal's understanding of Megillah's Esther and the Midrashim and the drama and the Nisim and the depth of Purim and the Megillah. So over here in the beginning, we have all of the what are called the Psichasas. The psichasas, all the introductions, that the different Tanaim and Amoraim, when they would give Shir on Megillah's Esther, back in the days, you weren't that considered not from if you gave Shir on Tanakh. Nowadays, I don't know, I don't know how often it's done, you see people giving Shurim and Chaburim and Tanakh. But back in the days, Tanaim and Amoraim, right, not lightweights, they would give Shurim in Megillah's Esther. And the Gemara records multiple different introductory drushos that the different Tanaim and Amoraim would give prior to their Shir on Megillah's Esther. So this one is a famous one, and it's as follows. Rabbi Shmuel, this is on Megillah Daf Yudam Abbeis, about two-thirds down. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Pasach Lei Pischa Lehai Parshasa Me'acha. And he quoted the Pasach in Yishayahu, Perek Nun Hei, Isaiah 55. And the Pasach, this Pasach that many of us are familiar with, from the Haftorah on fast days. The Haftorah on fast days that we say in Mincha by fast days. And we read like this. Tachas ha-natsutz yala b'rosh, the tachas ha-sirpad yale hadas. Right, so the pasuk says that in the place of the natsutz, a natsutz is a thorny bush. And that suits the thorny bush. In the place of the thorny bush, berosh, translated here, a cypress tree will grow in the place of a thorny bush. And in the place of sirpad, which is a nettle, also, it's also what? In the place of a sirpad, the tachas sirpad, yaleh hadas. A nettle, that was also a thorny type of bush. Yaleh hadas, a myrtle, the hadasim, that's one of the things here that we are familiar with. Hadasim, from Sukkot, hadasim, the myrtle branch, that will grow in its place. So Chazal Darshan, what's the significance? What's the meaning of this pasuk? Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Darshan this pasuk, and he says, "Tachas Hanatzutz." That's Tachas Haman Harasha, right? This thorny bush. So that's reference to Haman. Haman who's thorny, who's painful. In the place of Haman, Sha'asa Atzma Avodazara Dechsiv V'chol Hanatzutzim U'V'chol Hanahalulim. Right? That this reference to Avodazara. Based on another pasuk in Yeshayahu, that Na'atzut refers to Avodah Zarah, that Haman made himself an Avodah Zarah. In Haman's place, Ya'aleh B'Rosh, Zeh Mordechai, Shenikra Rosh. Rosh L'chol HaBesamim. Shenamar, like we had in Parashas Kisis, I believe, Ata, Kachuk HaBesamim Rosh, Mor Deror, right? Besamim Rosh. Besamim Rosh means like the highest level of the Besamim. Rosh, like head, but literally like the highest level of Besamim, of incense. And that's a reference to Mordechai because the famous Targum, the Targuminan, Mari Dachi, right, which is the letters of the name of Mordechai, right? And that's based on the famous Gemara in Chulin that the Masoret Shas brings down over here. Chulin Daf Kuf, Lamed Tes, where the Gemara asks Mordechai Min HaTorah Minayin, Esther Min HaTorah Minayin, Moshe Min HaTorah Minayin, Haman Min HaTorah Minayin, all those Gemaras over there. And over there, Mordechai is Mar Dachia, which is reference to the Mar Dachia, part of the Ketores. Mordor. Tachas Hasir Pad, in the place of this nettle, what's that refer to? That refers to Vashti, Harisha, Baz Benosh, Nebuchadnezzar, Rasha, Shasar, Fafiras, Beis Hashem, Vachsir, Fafiras, Uzav. That refers to Vashti, this bush, who is also the thorny bush and evil, the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar, Harasha, who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, in the place of Vashti, Yala Hadas, and we all know, obviously, that what is Hadas referred to? Hadas refers to Zo Esther at Tzedekes, Shinikris Hadasa, Shinamar, Vayominas Hadasa, Vayominas Hadasa, right? Hadas is Mufurish, the name of Esther Amalka in Megillus Esther, right? So we see Mordechai taking the place of Haman, and we see Esther taking the place of Vashti, and that's what we're learning in this Gemara over here. And the Gemara concludes, from Shemar Nachmani concludes, based on the Pasuk, the Hayala Hashem L'Shem Zumikar Megillah La'os Olam Lo Yikareis Eilu Yimei Apurim. Right, the end of the pasuk referring to the mitzvah Mikar Megillah La'os Olam will be signed forever Lo Yikareis and will never be removed. These are Yimei Apurim that we know Chazal Darshan Yimei Apurim will never be removed from Chai, so Apurim will be forever. Says the Kedushas Levi, Hagam Shdibir Chazal Kipshuto Na'el L'Misha Amran, Amnam Anoichi Apod V'Atzayur HaRein Nosin Ma'at Tavlin L'Mesikusan. Obviously, the words of Chazal don't need any assistance, they're beautiful in themselves, but, says the Kedushas Levi, with great humility, I would like to add a little bit Mesikus, I'd like to add a little bit Amkus to the words of Chazal. Dine. Amr B'Gumar Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Aleph Amad Beis, Amr Mar Zutra, V'Teima Mar Ukva, B'Tchila Nasna Terer L'Yisrael, B'Chsav Ivri, V'Lashon HaKadosh. Chazru V'Nasnu Lem B'Yimei Ezra, B'Ktav Ashuris, V'Lashon HaRami. So there's been some different evolutions in our language, the written language of Torah, the spoken language of Torah, and the Gemara and Sanhedrin says explicitly that originally Torah was given to us B'Chsav Ivri. The Chsav Ivri, right? Chsav Ivri is more is you've seen those notations. It's like a foreign script, the ancient Hebrew script. That's Chsav Ivri, Vilashon Kodesh, and Lashon Hakodesh. Chazu Vinasu. But in the days of Ezra, Torah was once again given the Chsav Ashuris, which is our script, Vilashon Arami, and.
Targum?
And what?
Like Targum?
Yeah, exactly. And Aramaic, right? That's the Lashon of Chazal. Aramaic in the Gemara, Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalm. Visu, Ita Hasam, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Tanya Meir, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ra'ui Haya, famous Gemara, in Sanhedrin over there. Ra'ui Haya, Ezra Shin Tinate in Torah, Al Yadul Yisrael. Vavu Pishalo, Nasna Al Yadu, HaTorah, Nishtana Al Yadu. That Ezra HaSofer, who was the leader of Klal Yisrael, when was Ezra the leader? When was Ezra the God of the door?
Before Purim, no? After Purim.
Right after Purim, soon after Purim. Ezra was the God of the door in what was called the Shivas Tzion, the returning to Eretz Yisrael, after the days of Galus Bavel, and after the days of Galus Paras Umadai, after the Yeshua of Purim, after the Jewish people were saved in the days of Achashverosh, the days of Haman, and the book of Ezra, the very end of Tanakh, is when the Jewish people were given permission by Cyrus to come back and rebuild Eretz Yisrael, rebuild Yerushalayim, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and the leader at that time, or the two leaders at that time, were Ezra and Nehemiah, who were the Gedolei Hador, the Tzaddikim who led Klal Yisrael in the return to Eretz Yisrael. And Chazal say that Ezra was so great, the Torah could have been given through him, right? Like Moshe. The Torah could have given through Ezra to Klal Yisrael. The near leading Tamu Shadavar, Ma Shanishtana, what?
That's what the last line says, Afa Pishlo.
Baal Pishlo, Nital Yado, and even though it wasn't given, even though the Torah wasn't given through Ezra, obviously the Torah was given through Moshe Rabbeinu, Nishtana Yado. It was re-given, it was repeated by him. Ayin Sham. So what does it mean that the Torah was repeated in the days of Ezra? Right, but now since we've already learned the Kedusha Rishon, we can also already get a hint of what's going on over here, right? Because what happened in the days of Purim? Kabbalah Satorah, it was the Kabbalah Satorah. Finally, that was complete, right? All the way we set up to that point, for around 1,000 years, Kabbalah Satorah was conditional. But in Purim, which is soon followed by the days of Ezra, Kabbalah Satorah was completed once and for all in the days of Bimei Achashverosh, right? Hadar Kibbul of Bimei Achashverosh, as we saw the Gemara in Shabbos. But what's this mean that Torah could have been that Torah was repeated by in a day repeated to Klal Yisrael days of Ezra? Kinir lefidato mashu zochah Ezra shenishtana kinir shebinyan beis hamikdash hasheni zochah Yisrael avor shekibul Yisrael as a tayr miyavas anes, right? We hit rock bottom, right? It's very, very important, right, to understand where Megillas Esther falls at a historical level. Megillas Esther is basically when Klal Yisrael, following the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, following going into the exile, going into Gullus at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, right? We hit rock bottom. How do we hit rock bottom in the days of Mordechai and Esther, in the days of Shushan? What do? Mipnesha, Nehenu, Misu Udaso, Shaloso Russia. Because we took part in the party of Nebuchadnezzar, which celebrated what? Even worse, it celebrated the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, right? The Kelim Mikelim showed him in these Vachashverosh, right? That Klal Yisrael took part in the Suda, which basically was a celebration party celebrating the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, right? And therefore, it was at that moment that Chazal teach us that Hashem signed a decree of the destruction of the Jewish people, right? That's why, right? Nothing bad ever happens to us without Hashem signing off on that. Why did Hashem sign off on the decree for the destruction of the Jewish people by Haman? Because we deserved it, yeah? We deserved it. We mamash hit rock bottom to the extent we're celebrating with our oppressors and destroyers. Those who destroyed Jewish life, those who destroyed the first piece of Migdal. But what happened? Under the leadership and inspiration of Mordechai and Esther, right? A massive turnaround took place, right? Klai and Sol were chozer b'tshuva in a way more profound than we ever had been, or maybe ever would be ever again, right? The 3 days of fasting, 3 days of tshuva, right? And Esther is able to go into Achashverosh, and all of Klai Yisrael is once again Mekabel Torah Mei Bahama, right? Returns to Hashem, B'leiv Shalim. And then from there, things start with Hashem turning around for the Jewish people. In the Purim story itself, we're saved, we're spared, right? And, right? But it keeps going, right? That's only the end of the Purim story, but it keeps going. And what ends up happening? We come back to Israel and build the second Beis HaMikdash, right? And says Kedush Levi, the whole thing started from the Kabbalah Satorah, Me'avas Anis. And therefore, Galal came b'schus Kabbalah Satorah, Zachul Ubinyan Bayis Sheni. And it's because that we ended up getting back to this very, very high level in the days of... It wasn't as high as it was in the first Beis HaMikdash, but climbing all the way back up to this reality of Beis HaMikdash in the days of the second Beis, in the days of Bayis Sheni. Hagam shenis navu hanavim lebinyan Bayis Sheni, aval pichin kvar yadu lekayim nevuas hanavim mo'il kshish zuchus v'tshuvas lamantan es kayim hanavuah, right? Even though we knew there was going to be a binyan Bayis Sheni, we knew there was going to be a tshuva, right? But it can only happen through tshuva. V'chein kasav haramban shayutzei kin yishol b'mitzrayim v'shema elokim asa kazam aval pichin kvar hivtiach la'avam hivri yadoh teida. Right? Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes promises us and guarantees that something's going to happen, like it's Yitzhak Mitzrayim that Hashem already promised Avram generations beforehand, nevertheless, it has to be from Isarusa Dilatata, like in the words of Kabbalah. We have to poseach the petach, right? We have to open up, we have to take one step forward, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it happen. So too in the days of Mitzrayim, and so too in the days of Mordechai and Esther. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us we're going to come back from Bayis Sheni, nevertheless, we need to do something to make it happen. Lekach Amr Shekiblu Es Ater Me'avas Anes Lachin Zachul Binyan Bayis Sheni Ki Binyan Bayis Sheni Haya Shana Achas Achas Shekiblu Aleim Likros HaMegillah. The Kedush Levi posits, okay, you have to really get into the history and the different years and what's when and who's who and when what happened when the book of Daniel you have to learn, and Megillas Esther you have to learn, and Sefer Ezra and Nechem you have to learn, and which, and you have Cyrus and Daryavish, and the different decrees, so, and the different times Klal Yisrael, the different permissions to come back, and a lot of different things, puzzle pieces that need to put together. But the Kedush Levi chashbons that Binyan Bayis Sheni, the beginning of the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, was 1 year following the takana of Mordechai and Esther of Kriyas HaMegillah. Vayin b'Megillah daf Yud Beis v'od shana achas hayo b'Daryavish v'yishlima, right? And then in the Gemara, this based the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Beis, that says that Daryavish, who was the ruler of Paras Amada in Persia, was the one who gave the final permission for the Jews to come back and build the same Beis Hamikdash 1 year following the Takan of Mordechai and Esther. And there's a Medrash in Shir Hashirim that's even more explicit. The next to Purim, Zachal bin Rabbi Shani, it's explicit. The Sasti Shekivanti Ladaitam says related to Kavitchev, but I was very happy when I was Mechavin to the exact words of Chazal in the Medrash and Shir Hashirim that it was Dafka, the Kriyas and Megillah, and the next to Purim that opened the gates to the return of Klal Yisrael in the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. Vehine, Avorja, Tevim Nitkanu Vinizdachu, since based on everything we said in the first Maimer, that what happened in the through Megillah's Esther, that all of reality in this normal, physical, regular, material world became refined. Lachin hayad daryavish hasheni maskim lebinyan bayis sheni avor shativim nizdachu. The world was cleansed, right? The whole world, we said it happens in a microcosm every single year in our avoid of Kriyas HaMegillah, but in a much, much more macrocosmic level, on a much more broader scale, the Megillah story that happened at that moment, and mainly through Klal Yisrael's tshuva and Kabbalah Zatorah, at that moment, all of reality went through a massive spiritual car wash. Everything was fixed and rectified. A world that's fixed and rectified, by definition, will be crowned with a Beis HaMikdash, right? That's the ultimate crown jewel of this world. And if the world was nizdach, if the world was refined and cleansed and rectified through what happened in Klal Yisrael's response and returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the days of Mordechai and Esther and what we saw with Haman, then the world is cleansed and the crown jewel of reality can be once again revealed in this world, namely the second Beis HaMikdash. And it all happened, right? And the beauty of the second Beis HaMikdash is a continuation of our Yisod. Namely that what? It all continues happening in a very natural, a very natural flow, right? The permission for the building of the second Beis HaMikdash was given by the Persian king, and he foot the bill, and he made a great donation to the project, and he allowed the Jews to come up and to collect taxes from all the people of Persia on their way back, right? If you look at the unbelievable psukim in Sefer Ezra, before they came back and built Yerushalayim in the days of in Sefer Nehemiah. And it's all happening b'toch ha-teva, because the whole story of Purim allowed for this reality now to happen b'toch ha-teva. What happened the last time we journeyed to the land of Israel and built the land of Israel and built the Beis HaMikdash? The whole thing happened. What? We fell, but before we fell, the whole thing happened. Cool miracles. Yitzias Mitzrayim, 40 years wandering in the desert, miracles. The Kibosh Haaretz in the days of Yehoshua, miracles. And the Nevi'im and the Shoftim. Alright, we weren't perfect then, right? But the whole reality of prophecy and the miraculous nature of the first Beis HaMikdash, right, was all functioning on this level above and beyond. In the days of the second Beis HaMikdash, what? Things are functioning seemingly in a lot more natural, normal, you know, empires rising and falling in a lot more natural way, and Klal Yisrael are being zocha within a more natural order. Shelo ikev melech umos ha'olam livnoso, no king prevented us from coming back. Va'adrav asiyah livnoso, and the kings helped us and assisted us in its building. Kedera chanes de Mordechai ve'Esther shetziva Achashverosh tovas Yisrael. Just like Achashverosh had also done, had commanded the good, right? But it all happened in a very natural way. Achashverosh felt a sense of gratitude to Mordechai, and he wanted to honor him. And it's all natural. It's all natural. Yeah, it's all natural. It's not all supernatural. It's all natural. But zivish Mordechai yidla as Haman, he told Mordechai to hang Haman. Now he quotes a verse from the Tikkuni Zohar. The Tikkuni Zohar says, right, there's Shem Hashem, Yudke, and Vavke, right? Connects to Rashi and Parshas Bereishis, the Gemara and Menachos, I believe, that, right, and Hazal say, Ki beka Hashem, Tzur Olamim. That Ki beka, Yud and Hey, Tzur Olamim. That with the Yud and Hey, the worlds were created, right? Tzur Olamim, right? Hazal Darshan, that the two worlds were created with the Yud and Hey. There's this world and there's the world beyond, the Olam Abba, the world of spirituality, the world of beyond, yeah? As I'll say, that the world beyond is created with the Yud. Yud is the most pure, simple world. That's the world of Ruchnius. It's a world devoid of Gashmius, devoid of his Pashtus, right? In Lashon HaMaral. It doesn't spread out, right? the world of a hey. Hey is this world. Hey is this world. In the Shema Hashem, there's two hey's. There's the first hey and the second hey. You know, Tikkun Zohar says the first hey is the first Beis HaMikdash, which is connected to the Yud, which is coming from a place of, which is place above. The second hey is the second Beis HaMikdash, which is from below. What? Right, which is with the Vav, it's Mechubar through the Vav, all the way down here, because that hay is, that hay, that Bayis Sheni is in Olam HaTeva. The third one, Emir Tzu Hashem will understand when we get to it. But it's more of a Shlemus of all. Okay. So let's try to understand this sugya from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that the Torah was given in one ksav, in the ksav Ivri, and then later the Ezra given ksav Ashuri. Shiadua. Dibaraisa barakut shabrichu alma ubechapiz asman ivro kol olamos v'neish l'temunas osios tam kibuzgar sivrat temuna b'kisvei Arizal.
Shabbos asked about this on the bus on the way back from Masada to Rabbi Spiro. He asked about the different, I don't know if you're listening, but the different ksavim, that the original ancient the original ancient Hebrew versus our modern letters. But there's a famous Zohar that says that the world was created with the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and each letter has its temuna, its depiction, its form, and its meaning, like is found in the Kisvei HaRizal. And the Baal Shem Tov, he quotes, Gam Butzina Kadisha Baal Shem Tov, Zechus Lo Yagin Aleinu, Zechus Arach Livracha, Gila Temunas Osios, Baal Shem Tov also revealed the significance of each of the Hebrew letters. V'chein Shemati Yipi Meri Butzina Kadisha Mori HaRav, Rav Doverish, this is the Magad Mizrich, the Talmud Mug of Baal Shem Tov, who says, Zechus Arach Livracha, Had Yesh Tamim Al Temunas Osios, Shu Oros Leon Gon Yud Gon, Yud, Tzimtzum, as we just said, that Yud is Tzimtzum, right? It's Yud is the smallest letter. Everything is Mitzumtzum. It's all very, very contracted. It's very, very small. Everything is compact in that little Yud. Vos Vav, who is Pashtus, as we just said, it's the Os Vav is the Pashtus, right? It's a spreading out, the line, which is the Chibor from above to below, the connection above to below, it's above. And that's why Vav, what does Vav do in grammar?
And
it's a word of Chibor, right? It's a word of Chibor, because Vav represents Chibor, right? The letter itself depicts Chibor, going from the top to the bottom,
top to the bottom, and it also, in grammar, in speech, it is Chibor. Vav means and.
V'os Shin, Gimel Kavin, right? Shin has a three sprouts, right? Vos Aleph, Kotz Le'elev, Kotz Le'tata, right? The Aleph has the way the Aleph is, it's one Kotz, one part sticking up upwards, one part sticking downwards. Ava Bisho Lamu Shomala, Bola Masecha, Bola Malachim, Ein Shayach Bo, Lo Lamala, Velo Lamata, Velo Gvul, Shaye Shayach Bo is Pashas. Amram Amar Marik, Shao Lamus, Vaor Salionim, Slabshinas, Atam, Betecha Gov, Shal Adam, Slabshin, Betbushi Gashmias, as near Betoch Tira Gova, Haros, Asecha, Gdimir Osios. Kigona Tzimtum shall seichel gederach shetzimtum es ha'atzo b'seichel ha'talmid hu kidmus yud v'avav u'tmuras ha'ishpashtus v'chein kulam ken kibalti memori. Okay, so all of the letters had their significance and what they depict. V'nimtza tmuras ha'osios ha'ich shebetoch ha'guf ha'gashmius sham yesh ha'arus ha'seichel ha'olamos ha'lyonim u'kitzir ha'ilu ha'osios v'amo, that the depiction of all the letters, how they are within, within physicality. Shamish harus asicha v'alamos alyonim, that they also have a representation. Their merames, they represent that which is above and beyond, that which is coming from the world of the intellect, the world of spirituality, the world of the alyonim, the exalted, lofty world beyond. Who could see Reila Osios are also from these letters. Vu Amuk, and this is a very deep concept. Amnam, Baulamas al Yon, Baulam Lachim, Ein Sham Shum Tumuna Shal Geshem. But there, meaning the Osios are coming from this world beyond, giving Tzura to this world, but in the world above itself, there is no Tumuna Shal Geshem, there is no form. There's no depiction. Betunas ha'osio shel ksava umos ha'olam, sha'olam ha'secha mislabish b'sari umos shelahem, ve'inenu secha la'yosher kemo shelanu, l'achin kasv shelahem inena tama kishelanu l'kama nevar. Right? The other nations all have their languages as well. But their languages are not coming from above to below. They're not coming from beyond. They're simply a manifest. They're simply a speech of man. They're coming from below. And they're not coming from above as our osios of Lashon HaKodesh.
It's Tama.
Pure. Like a Tmimus. Nimtza tmuras osios hu hechsha or salyonim osin pulasin b'teich levush ha'adam levushagashmi avalamala ein bo shum tmuna. So that's the Indian, right? If we're going to be able to dash in letters, we have to recognize it, because these letters of Lashon HaKodesh are coming from above. And manifesting and revealing a reality below. V'hini adua sheishtura se'osios ha'ksuba b'sefer v'yesh lashon ha'medaber. There's written letters that are written on a book. There's also spoken letters. Mashikasu b'sefer v'tumuna se'osios ha'ksuba b'sefer hudumus olam asiyah olam ateva shekein yesh lahem.
So why did you say that?
Gvul v'tmuna. V'lo shenu v'daber. Hadimar ba'atzo hu ruchnius. V'ein bo gvul v'hu neger elam ha'secha. When a word... What's the lowest way that a word is expressed in ruchnius? When it's written. When a word is spoken, right? The spoken word, right? Where does speech come from? Right? Like speech comes from within. It comes from the hevel piv shel tinoko shel beis rabban. It comes from air. It comes from a place of within, a place of ruchnius. The greatest physical actualization, manifestation of a word is once it's taken and put an ink on a paper. The Kedush Levi wants to say that when a word is written down on paper, that's what's the lowest spiritual world, the world of Asiya, this very physical material world, right? What's called Asiya, the world of Asiya, the world of Teva, the world of our, you know, where everything is materialized and actualized in a physical way. But speech is a little bit above and beyond. Speech is a little bit more ruchni. Speech is in Gvul. Speech doesn't have any physical boundaries. Okay, obviously, you know, based on the sounds you're able to get out with your voice box, and the sounds that ear is able to hear based on the vibrations and your what's it called in our eardrum, the vibrations that make our ears be able to hear things. Fine, so there is a physical component, but speech we can understand is a much more ruchni thing than writing. Yeah, writing is totally mikusham. Writing is totally physically expressed. Speech is one step removed, one step more ruchni. V'cheinu ha-Ramban ha-Ravid al-Sefer Yetzirah ha-Perish Sefer u-Dumus ha-Oros.
The Rambam has a perish on Sefer Yetzirah?
I guess so. Sofer Sibur u-Tmunas Osios. Thank you so much. Ramban. Shesefer u-Malchus u-Vidvei ha-Arizal Malchus u-Mekanenes v'asir finds that these are things that are beyond myself as well. In the world of Kabbalah, coming to Arizal v'Sibur u-Tiferes v'Kanem Yetzirah u-Elam ha-Malachim v'Nimtza Tmunas Osios hu-Aicha Oros al-Yonam v'Techo Gufa Adam v'hu ha-Olam ha-Teva. Written letters, the Holy Yisod that Kush Levi is developing over here is that written letters are the ultimate expression of something written. Hebrew letters, right? Lashon HaKodesh, right? Are the ultimate expression of something coming from a world above and beyond, the world of Seichel, the world of Ruchnius, Olam HaSelyonim, above and beyond, becoming Megusham, becoming manifest all the way down here. V'lachim. Bimei Ezra, Shehayat Techev Achar Nes Demordechai V'Esther, in the days of Ezra, in the days of Shivas Tzion, when we came back to Eretz Yisrael, and we came back to build the second base of Mikdash, following the miracle of Mordechai and Esther, Kemoshe Kasavnu, Shenitakin Olamatev Nizdachu, that this, as we said, the world went through a car wash, and physical reality, as we know, became rectified and became cleansed. Lachei Nitin Lem B'Ksav Ashuris, in those days, therefore, in those days of Ezra, we were given Ksav Ashuris, our Ksav, Hu Haksav Shel Sefer Torah Shelanu, right?
What was the first Ksav?
Ksav Ivri, it's called, which is ancient Hebrew script. You can talk to Michael Edelman about all these things, the different scripts of Torah of Hebrew from different generations. But the Gemara understands that the Ksav that we had The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the our Ksav, our Hebrew writing, our Hebrew letters, we got in the days of Ezra when we came back in the days of Ayasheni. But now it makes so such a basic Yerushalayim's understanding. It's such a beautiful connection. Why? Because Shekeva Shinitakin Olamateva Bevada Heya Meir Olamateva Hu Olamasiya Orsal Yonim Kiroi Lahen. This world, all the way down here, this physical material reality became cleansed and rectified. Became in Shemayir Olamateva, and since now there's a light that's coming all the way down here to this very world, we realize that God Himself is manifest in this very world, and one does not need to go above and beyond this world of nature, this world of normal functioning, of material physical functioning. One does not need to go above and beyond it in order to encounter God, and that's everything that's coming into this world following Megillas Esther, following the Nes of Purim. And then what happened? Ezra, in those days, Ezra gave to us this Ksav Ashuris, which is our Ksav, our written Hebrew, which we are able to now put down as words on paper.
We weren't able to before.
Aval kodem anes to Mordechai v'Esther, da'adayin lo nitkanu oylem ha'teva, that this normal natural world was not refined and rectified, that in order to encounter God, it required a little bit being out of this world, it being in the world of the supernatural, the world of the miracles. Shekein haya moda rabba lo reisa, because until that time, there was still this great Tanai, this condition that Torah had not come all the way down to here, because we were only mekabel Torah in the supernatural reality of our Sinai. Kasher b'yayin ul'el b'kdush rishayna l'chein lo haya ksav ashuris. The ksav didn't make it all the way down here. Abal b'yimei Mordechai v'Esther shenasa nesh b'toch ativim v'acharkach b'shana shniya. Therefore, in that next year, sheshalcha Esther l'cham l'kvaya osav l'doros, and Esther said, kavuni l'doros. Esther said, establish me for generations, make my book be a book for the Jewish people forever, add me to Tanakh, add my story to Tanakh. What happened? And we were Makabel Megillas Esther as part of Torah. We were Makabel her story. And we were Makabel the inspiration, the unique inspiration that came from her story. And we're makabel to read it every single year and year. Therefore, in the next year, it makes perfect sense that now Ezra is coming and giving us the Torah. And what's the Torah that Ezra is giving us? He's giving us the Torah in Ksav Ashuris, the Torah that's coming all the way down here in this Ksav, in our Ksav. It's becoming Mikusham. It's a Torah that's written down for generations, forever, in our Ksav, in the Osios, in the letters of our Torah as we know it. Kitunas Osios hua ich shows in asiklus vashava me elokei elokim and puolasam betoch gashmis vativim. Now there's a tzura. Now these letters are able to find their form and can be written down, which is the greatest expression of the seichel eloki, the wisdom of God, and the ruchni reality becoming concretized in this very world.
See, that the Lashon Ivri was not that.
Yes, that's a good question. Exactly, what is that? Exactly, what was it, and what was the mitzvah? It was some sort of ksav that was from beyond, and not a ksav that could manifest kedusha in this world as we know it. I don't know. I guess we're biased, but if you look at it, you ever seen Ksav?
It's like alien.
Yeah, it looks like scribbles. Yeah. It looks like scribbles. It doesn't have the refined and beauty and malchus. You know, you look at Ksav, the Sefer Torah, it's mamish like royal, no? Because it's malchus. That's exactly what it is. The malchus is the manifestation of God in this very world. But that's a good question. I think that's the basic answer. Why exactly it is, he doesn't go into over here. Va'ayim b'Rashi the Megillah, the Shana Ashlishis, the Neis hitchil livnos habayis Hasheni ve'efkida the Kairish, va'efkida the Kairish. Right, the third year, right. Just now going back to the history, so Kibepurim shelafan of Kabua Megillah b'chol makom, Kibeshana Rishana rak b'shushan ukla kriya. If you look in the Megillah, Kemosham Chazal Megillah b'tchila kavu b'shushan, v'achargach b'chol ha'olam kulo. In the first year, the takana of Kriyas HaMegillah was just in Shushan, right? The city where we killed the most people, and really where the Ikar of the Nes took place, even though the Nes took place in the entire kingdom, because they were going to come kill us, and we defended ourselves and killed many people all over the whole kingdom, all over the whole empire. But the Ikar, the center point of the Nes, where the celebration was, and where the most Jews were pashtus, was there in Shushan. So in the first year, they just celebrated in Shushan. In the second year, then they were koveya to read that all Klal Yisrael would read the Megillah wherever they were, and then in the next year, zachu libnos ba'yisheni. Then they went ahead and built the second Beis Hamikdash. Shapkida neis al yede neis al pi tivim al yede koresh hasheni velo yede milchamos. And he says, you see, Ahispashtus, it's starting first in Shushan. They had the miracle.
It's Koresh.
Then they sell Koresh. Koresh is Cyrus. Cyrus was the emperor of Persia, who was the one who allowed us to come back, right? One of the most important goyim of all time. He was the one who gave the key to Eretz Yisrael back to the Jewish people in the days of Ezra to come back and rebuild the second Beis Hamikdash. Not only that, he foot the bill. He gave tons of money and he allowed tons of Jews to come back and rebuild the second Beis Hamikdash. And therefore, the Jewish Levi is saying that in Ruchnis we see it beautiful. It starts small. It started in Shushan and was mispashit outwards. And then the next year was mispashit even more outwards and brought about the ability for us to come and build the second Beis Hamikdash, and brought about Ezra, the leader of the Jewish people, the one who was able to give us the Torah, brought us the Torah in Ksav Ashuris, which is the Torah coming all the way down to this very world, the ultimate expression of the Hispashtus of God's love and God's benevolence, and God's giving us the Torah in the Olam HaTivi, in this very world that we see. The Efshus HaPeru Shamru, my Ksav Ivri. So now we'll try to give an answer to what we said, right? So based on, we have to answer Moshe Chaim's question. Based on what we've said until now, it must be the Ksav Ivri, the original Ksav that we were given, it must have something about it that represents how it's beyond. That it's not Migusham, that it's not the Malchus of Torah revealed and manifested in this very world, but it's a little bit beyond the out of this world. That's connected to that miraculous reality. So he says, so Gemara says in Sanhedrin, my ksav ivri, amrev chizda, ksav livona'a. V'zeh loshon Rashi, osios gedolos ke'en shekosfin bekemios u'mezuzos. Big letters that are written in kemios are amulets, and mezuzos. V'osios ha-malachim korim ha-olam ksav kemios. Klomar, an amulet. Not so normally found in our circles of regular Jewish practice, but in the world of Kabbalah, many people are very, very nervous about such things. I certainly have never had anything to do with some Kabbalistic amulets. You find them discussed in Sipur Tzadikim, people who knew the secret tradition, the Torah's Mister, would write, maybe Shemus of Hashem, or something on an amulet, a little claf, or put in a little pouch, whatever it is. Kamios found in Mekubalim and in Tzadikim. I don't really know what they are, Lamaisa. But some sort of spiritual amulets that contain some kind of power. Right? Now, the closest thing we know to such a thing is a mezuzah. Right? A mezuzah is a spiritually powerful thing that the Torah commands us. I assume in all the Kabbalah, that concept of a mezuzah, or even tefillin, right, which we know have immense amount of spiritual energy and inspiration within them, give us the ability to have the crown of God within us, give us the ability to remember God every single we walk in and out of a doorway, right? So maybe there are other things that, based on that principle, Mekubalim and the world of Kabbalah, elaborated upon, that also can have some sort of koach. Be it as it may, the osios of Ksav Ivri, Kids, he says it's the script of angels, is the way Kiddush Levi understands Rashi in Sanhedrin, that it's the writing of angels. It's a writing from a world beyond. But it's not a writing that's shaykh to this world. It's a writing that's shaykh to the world of spirituality, the world of intellect, the world above and beyond. Shekin ksav kamios hu hashvaos lamalachim. Therefore, makes perfect sense. When we were given the Torah in the beginning, in that reality of Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai, it was all a supernatural spiritual reality. Therefore, the writing of the Torah at that point was a writing that's shaykh to the angels. But what in the days of Ezra, now it's so beautiful. It's another massive riot to this whole Mahalik. Namely, that in this time period in our history, it's a whole new encounter with Torah. It's a whole new encounter with God. It's an encounter with God in this world as we know it. Up till now, the whole encounter with God has been stepping out of this reality in the miraculous, the prophetic, the supernatural, the above and beyond. In the days, and these things are precious to us. Why? Because we've been living in Galus for the past 2,000 years. We've been living in a dark, cold, reality, and we've had to learn the hard way as a people how to arouse our kirvah Hashem, our avas Hashem, our yiras Hashem in this reality. And Baruch Hashem, we're doing pretty good, for a people who've been wandering for 2,000 years, right? And therefore, this basic idea of being able to have a real relationship with Hashem Baruch Hu and a real revelation of God and a real expression of Torah mitzvahs in a world like this, which is dark and damp and cold and rainy, and you get sick, and you have to pay taxes, and you have to go grocery shopping, and this world, to be able to encounter Hashem in this world, it's something that's, to us, we can make sense of. But it all comes from this great inspiration from the time of Mordechai and Esther. Before that time, encounter God in this world as we know it was not shayach. The only encounter with God was going above and beyond, being above and beyond. And it's the days of Mordechai and Esther, and then now we're adding in the days of Ezra, where Torah was Megusham, was written in Ksav Ashuris for us down here in our reality, and the building of the second Beis HaMikdash was, which is a natural, regular type of a normative type of development, that we're encountering Hashem now in this very world. Ukvidas Rashi, Dmus Osio Shalanu, Shenitakin Elamateva, Ki Kena Nes to Mordechai and Esther, Betech Elamateva, Ulefi Katzichli, Hu Nachon Mashakasavnu. He has one point over here. V'avshur shebetchila alidei Ezra haya loshon aramis v'losh loshon kodesh avar shechatu benashim nachrios v'achar kach shal yidei Ezra v'nechemya girsha nachrios galal kein zach loshon kodesh v'al yidei hanes marachem Esther al yidei kriyas megillah zach luchtav ashuris v'chem biru lahem liyisrael ksav ashuris v'loshon kodesh. Okay, and he explains that maybe why at that time there was loshon aramis, why we had to speak a foreign language, because we have sinned with foreign women, and at that point we weren't yet able to be speaking Lashon HaKodesh, but after the cleansing was completed, then we were able to speak once again Lashon HaKodesh, a parenthetical point. Let's try to go a little bit weiter. The Chol HaMemer Sanhedrin Ola Al Pi Devarinu Kehoigen Sheish Dei Achas She'al Yidei Chet Nishapcha L'Roetz. The Gemara over there says that the Gemara, again, that Gemara in Sanhedrin, which is talking about the different Ksavim, in Sanhedrin Chav Beis Amar Aleph, says that the Ksav Nishab Chalaroit backfired against us, but when we were Chozer B'Tshuva, it once again was Chozer to us for our good. Right, basically, usually just another yisod, how at the end the ksav ashuris that we have became the ksav of the manifestation of the Ratzon Hashem, and all the way down in this very world. Val pi peirush ksav livona shekasv tosfos Shuksav Lavan, right? And Tosfos understands the Gemara in Sanhedrin that Ksav Ivri is a white Ksav. What's the meaning of the white Ksav? So we know, so this is a beautiful pshat. We know the famous, Rashi brings this down in Parshas B'zos HaBracha, Eish Das Lamo. What's Eish Das Lamo? The Torah was given black fire on black fire and white fire. Kedush Levi has this many times throughout the Sefer. The Torah was given black fire on white fire, but the Tosfos says, what was Ksav, what was the original Ksav? What was the Ksav Ivri? It was a white Ksav. Can you see a white Ksav on a white background? Our Torah is a black Ksav on a white background. Black fire and white fire. Shemar Lavan Ramazal HaOlamo Shelamala. But a white Ksav is a Ksav of spirituality. It's a script from above and beyond. Umara Shachor and a black expression, a black writing, Ramaz al Olam Agashmi, is expression of this world. The writing was white, in the words of Tosfos.
Could we end here?
Could we push through a little bit more, or it's not great?
How much longer? Should I have a chavrus in 15 minutes?
We'll stop here. Okay.